This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Happy Radio!
It's time for the Kimmel Talk Show.
KWAI, happy station, right? Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here and just trying to adjust. Thank you for joining me. Got a little microphone adjustment here. Anyway, I just thought I'd play that. And it's rainy skies and just real nice. Now, a lot of you called last week and I couldn't get to you. And I don't know where to start. There's too much to talk about, but what I will be is discussing either in this hour or the next hour some activities that's taken place on Kauai and talking about the environmental issues and what have you and how the government is handling these so-called enforcement, as you saw possibly. I talked about it last week, I think. The Maile stream and how no one gets punished and how Hanneman Names is not associated with it. But I want to add a few names to that. There's Kurt Caldwell. Now, remember, he too was at the helm when this little thing was unfolding and being covered up and tricked. And then there's the illustrious Peter Carlisle, who I saw him, I think I saw him, there was a butterfly convention here, and I saw him there wearing a butterfly suit or something. I don't know how to really describe what he was doing, but it had something to do with something being aloof. So he was at that, but where was he on this dumping of the concrete? Where was Carlyle? Where was Caldwell? Where was Mufi Hanneman? So anyway, and that brings me to an interesting point here. You notice that in that whole process of what was sent out, there was no mentioning of the wildlife that's there. And as I've pointed out on several occasions, that river is important because it's one of the last remaining remnant wetlands, if you would call it a wetland. It's been modified and shaped, but still it serves a purpose for foraging, resting, nesting, and just some protection for these endangered water birds, we'll call them, such as the Hawaiian stilt, such as the koloa, the duck, the endangered duck, such as the alaiula and the alaikeakea, which is the red-headed and the white-headed mud hens, we'll call them mud hens, but gallinules. And then you have this great collection of ruddy turnstones and plover. And you also have an occasional visit by the sanderlings. They're these little small birds that they're shorebirds. I mean, they would fit in your hand. They're that small, but they're absolutely beautiful and stunning when you really look at them, and they're running along the beach. But that area hosts a great many animals, migratory birds, endangered birds, and you didn't see a single mention by the state health department or anyone. So imagine if you wanted to gauge what is the state of affairs and what is the health of our environmental protection efforts here in the state, I think you can start there and see that, first of all, it was the city's environmental services. And you see how loosely you can apply a name to anything. You can, as that debate about putting lipstick on a pig or whatever that debate was, well, you can put it environmental agency on ahead of anything. It could be a bunch of thugs. It could be a bunch of business people who wish to cut down the entire forest, but they could label themselves as an environmental. And I think that's probably what you're witnessing with the state government here. They are thugging us with the environmental protection. You take the Neil Abercrombie, or the governor. We voted for him, so I'll give him that much, but he's not behaving like one. But he lifted all of the environmental laws. So I have a billion-dollar question for you, the taxpayer. If the governor lifts the environmental laws, suspends them, why do we need, or do we need, an environmental agency to enforce those laws that are now in suspension and will be suspended for some 3 to 4 years? Imagine the tax savings that we could have if he suspended the laws. What purpose are they sitting there? Why are they getting on the freeway, burning gas, wasting time, and we're paying their insurance and their taxes, and we're paying their overtime and their food bills and parking, to have state employees to go to an office and sit there to enforce environmental laws, but those laws have been lifted or suspended by their crony governor? How does that work? Isn't that amazing? The willingness to inflict such injury and insult on the people's intelligence here in this state. And this is not me making this up now. I'm asking these questions, but I could also make that as a statement. How do you suspend the laws and then have a law enforcement agency and a regulatory agency who would enforce those laws to go in every day and to do what? To document today so that when they invoke the laws again, they're going to then arrest the people? for doing something that was legally allowable? You understand. How could that be? I don't know if that's insanity or maybe medical marijuana at the top or what. But something terrible is happening here. And that's just not me making this stuff up, folks. And, you know, there is a process if you're a prosecutor or you find someone in violation of a law. You can engage in creative or constructive sentencing or what have you. And you come up with some kind of deal where everybody's happy and, you know, to fit the crime, the punishment fits the crime. There was no punishment here. And leave it to Abercrombie, leave it to the EPA, leave it to the Army Corps of Engineers. There was never a violation. And imagine that. So I'm here to tell you that there's 18 more reasons why you should think who you vote for in the coming elections. My views of the Democratic Party is just dismal, and is the same as for the Republican Party, because they stand by. They should be marching like the people in Selma right now, saying, "Give us our government back. Let's make sense. Let's do something. Abercrombie is a crony. Let's call it what it is, and let's call it what it is with the city, the agency, the bunch of lawyers, their corporation counsel. Folks, you're wasting your money with these people. They're sucking us dry, and they're doing nothing for us." Good morning, Bob. You have a comment or question?
Yes, sir. You talk about wits end. Man, I'm about to pull out every hair on my head. The idea that he can, this governor, which is the worst governor this state has ever had, because just look at his record so far, but to null and void the environmental laws that we have in our state to move his agenda forward. How can we stop him, number one? And number two, how can we close down the environmental protection part of our government, state government, if they're not going to be doing any job?
Yeah.
Like you're saying. How can this be? How are we going to pay all my taxpayer money to somebody just sitting on their butt in a room?
Yeah, and even if they were doing something, it's meaningless because they can't prosecute anyone because they've suspended the laws.
Yeah, there's no, you know, it almost gives everybody a chance to go, well, let's go break some laws because we're not going to be punished.
Yeah, well, again, now remember, I agree with you. You can't break them if they don't exist.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
It just, everything is so upside down, it doesn't make any sense. How can we bring a lawsuit against what he is doing to not avoid the environmental laws? Do we have to go federal?
We should, but, you know, the feds, you know, they're going to back off because we got Dan and Orr sitting up there with the budget, and the Republicans are going to tiptoe around the bushes and say, well, you know, you can screw your own people, Dan. We don't worry about that. You know, just give us something for Idaho, you know who, and whatever. And we're stuck.
Beyond belief that, you know, yeah, now they're going to shove this dump thing down our throats. You know what I mean? Where are they going to put it? You know, they're going to put it over here in Kailua again. You know what I mean? But, you know, my whole, just I'll make one comment and I'll get off, Mr. Cox. Why can't we do what the trash the other countries do? They sort it out, they put this over here, they put this over there, and meticulously take each piece of the dump material and reuse it or recycle it, do something with it, and then the last thing they would have to do is burn it for energy.
Yeah.
How can we get these people to understand that the garbage is sort of like gold if they just use it properly?
Yeah, well, again, it's the same people that making decisions on the environmental laws, right? It's the same people. The Caldwell was in, Carlisle was in, Hanneman was in, and this is what we got, right?
And they're the worst. Everyone in the unions just said they all leave the state, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah,
and go reside in some other place. But besides Hawaii, we'd be better off. Everybody would. Well, you have a good day.
All right, Bob. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll call you back later. You can get
thank
dinner.
Thank you. All righty.
So, have a good day. Bye.
Okay, bye. Anyway, the thank you, Bob, for... And what that says about all of us... Anyway, we're just juggling around here trying to... what is happening, folks, is it's crazy. I don't know where do we start, how do we fix it. I'm up to my neck now in just disgust because you know they should be out there doing it anyway. We pay them. They drive around. They're supposed to monitor the streams, for example, in this situation, to see if the stream is blocked. They being the agencies that regulate this, EPA, Army Corps of Engineers, the military, DLNR, and all those knuckleheads, you see. And they should be out there monitoring this, but they don't. So I discover this nonsense, and I struggle to file the complaint. Along the way, I contact DLNR. Well, it's not a problem. I contact the State Health Department. Well, it's not a problem. Contact Army Corps of Engineers. Well, I contact Army Corps. They sit on it, and then I have to preach and pray to them. They finally do something, write a letter, and while the city's denying. So then what happens? Finally, the Army Corps of Engineers does a little work, and they file a letter. Then the EPA, the big boo-boo, boogie boy, bear, you know, they'll prosecute you. They jump in. Let us have the case. But do you know, folks, in that whole process, not a single agency spoke to me to ask me what I had found, what I had observed. They danced around it. But anyway, I'm going to put that subject aside for right now, and I want to share an upcoming event, and I think all of you guys would be happy to participate, and I'm hoping you will. And I have Linda De La Cruz on with me, and for right now, and she's with the Asian American Journalists Association. And there's a movie here. I assure you, I've watched it, I've screened it. Let me say to you, folks, there's a new day in town, and I'll let Linda share that with you and tell you about it. Good morning, Linda. How are you?
Good morning, Carol. Thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about the Vincent Hu documentary that's going to be at the YWCA coming up on May 1st from 5 to 7 o'clock at Fuller Hall. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very interesting opportunity. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, Vincent Chin is an Asian man who was killed back in 1982 in Detroit. And he was killed by two white auto workers because at the time there was a lot of anti-Japanese sentiment and they felt that he took away their jobs. Mm-hmm. So his murder helped spark the Asian community to unite and speak up against injustices and speak up for civil rights. And so although it happened in Detroit, people from all over different areas, including San Francisco and New York, gathered together and did their best to speak out against this injustice. Mm-hmm. And although this murder happened 30 years ago, still a lot of people don't know about it. And so the whole premise of this film, Vincent Hu, is they start out asking people, do you know who Vincent Chin is? And most people are like, I don't know, go to my school, was in my class, and they really don't know who he is or why he was important or what his life had to do with anything. And so this year is the 30th anniversary of his death, and so that's another reason why it's important to look back on this case and see how far we've come as a nation mm-hmm. in civil rights in general, whether you're Asian or not. The point is it was a hate crime, and it's a good opportunity to look at it as a community, especially here in Hawaii, where, you know, we kind of take race for granted. And, mm-hmm. You know, it was a very moving film, and I saw it back in Detroit last year, and the filmmaker mentioned that he was coming to Hawaii, and I was, like, so excited that the filmmaker was coming to Hawaii, that the Asian American Journalists Association put this program together where the filmmaker Curtis Chin, who did the movie, is going to be here in Hawaii. We're also having a panelist with attorney Mario Matsuda. She's a civil rights expert and law professor at UH Richardson School of Law. We're also having community organizer Hoyt Zia. He's also an attorney. He was in the Bay Area in the 1980s, and he helped organize that end of it. He is related to Helen Zia, who is one of the major players in this case during the 80s. Helen Zia is a journalist in Detroit who was like a spokesperson for the family during the times that this case was happening, and she gave them a voice where they may not have spoken out about it before, but the community rallied around them to, you know, share that this was wrong and that this shouldn't happen. And many ethnic communities gathered around the Chin family in the 80s and through the trials to see that this case went through and hopefully would achieve justice. So that's a little bit about the film and how come it's coming here. We've got some fabulous support from other organizations here in Hawaii, the Hawaii International Film Festival, the Japanese American Citizens League, the Media Council Hawaii, the National Asian Pacific American Bar Association, as well as the Organization of Chinese Americans and the YWCA of Oahu, have all stepped forward and said we want to share this opportunity with the community so that they can know about this. And so we're interested in getting as many people as we can to come to the film. And if you're interested in coming to the film, you can register at ywcaoahu.org/Vincent Hu. And we're trying to get as many people as we can to register before April 23rd. So that's those are some highlights of the things that are going on with the Vincent Hu film screening. Another person who's also on the panel that we recently added, as you know, Carol, is the YWCA CEO, Kimberly Miyazawa Frank, who lived in Cincinnati during some of the times of the trials that happened. In the case.
Yeah, so just so that those that are just joining in, I have Linda De La Cruz, and she is with Asian American Journalists Association, and we'll briefly talk about that later before she goes, tell us about that organization. But it's regarding a documentary film screening to be held May 1st at the YWCA from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Fuller Hall. And as she, Linda, explained, Vincent Chin was a young man of Asian background, or Chinese, in fact, right? That was in a bar and was I'll call them, well, obviously, I believe it was racist, but they ended up following him out and beating him to death with a baseball bat. And neither of these two gentlemen, after two trials, were ever spent a day in jail. And so this film is absolutely, for me, and knowing the history of people and what the struggles of all people, whether you're white, black, or green, we can, hatred is hatred. And this film brings to mind, and we say it was, what, 1982, huh?
But it happened in 1982, yes.
And then here we have the Trayvon case there in Florida. So even though the individual experienced this in 1982, we're reminded of similar incidences, and I'm not jumping to a conclusion. I have drawn my own conclusion about that, this recent case, but there are many others, and so I'm not shocked. But I think you, the public, will be completely pleased and satisfied, and I would encourage you to go, but take a few napkins, and it's an enlightenment, and it's something that will stir something deep inside of you. But anyway, Linda, go ahead and tell us the... again, the AAJA, this chapter, Hawaii chapter, what is that that organization?
The Asian American Journalists Association was founded by a handful of Asian Americans, maybe three or four Asian Americans back in the early 80s, maybe 1981. And that's a time when there weren't very many Asian Americans in any media. Today, there's quite a few more across the nation, but the organization was founded to support and encourage Asian Americans to enter into journalism, as well as to be sure that there is fair coverage of Asian Americans and issues that they might be dealing with. So that's the purpose and the mission of the Asian American Journalists Association.
Mm-hmm. And I know that the YWCA is becoming active, and I'm going to have Ms. Kimberly Franks on. I guess she's, I'll say the director, probably not the right title, but she's one of the heads over there now. And the YWCA has a program that they're, and this is part of that, inviting this screening is one of the first steps, I think, in being more open and aggressive to the issues of hatred and racism and what have you.
Part of their logo, their mantra is to eliminate racism. And so when I shared this film idea with Kimberly Miyazawa Frank of the YWCA, she was very excited, very receptive, and offered to host the screening at her venue because it's something that they are, that's their job, is to have programs like this to show what they're doing in terms of, you know, letting people know about eliminating racism. May is also Asian American Heritage Month, so that's another reason why this film is a good fit for the YWCA to host host the event.
Mm-hmm. And if they want to, again, if you want to register now, they're taking early registration, and it's what, $12 for the ticket?
$12, yes. So you get to see this film. You will get to hear from the filmmaker himself about the film, and we have a panel of speakers to listen to. It also includes some light refreshments for that $12.
So
that's on Tuesday, May 1st from 5 to 7 at the YWCA downtown on Richard Street in their Four Hall, which is a beautiful, it's a beautiful setting to have an event in. If you've never been there before, Four Hall's all the way in the back behind the pool, not behind the pool, but next to the pool. And it's a venue that I hadn't seen inside before, but they had recently renovated it, and it's definitely a very classy venue.
Right, yeah. And this, if you want to just get a little teaser, they run a trailer at www.vincent, V-I-N-C-E-N-T, who, W-H-O, movie.com. And you can get a bit of the movie there and get a little teaser. And again, I'm excited about it. When I watched it, many things came to mind, and it showed me the parallels that we all travel in life, whether you're male, female, whether you're gay, when you are the recipient of a hatred, an act of hatred, it's time for us all to rally around. And this movie it's an eye-opener, and I had never heard, I shouldn't say never heard of it, but at the time, I don't believe it got the play. And when you see this movie, it's riveting to hear his mom speak and talk about it. So I encourage all of you to go out and see it, and maybe we can get a rescreening or get it shown in a larger audience or what have you. But let's try this one first.
And absolutely. Seating is limited, so if you can register on YWCAOahu.org/Vincent2 before April 23rd, that would be really great. We're looking forward to having a great discussion after the film.
Mm-hmm. For some of the younger people that want of Asian background, not necessarily just Asian, but they want to get more information on your organization, the AAJA, how do they do that, and what numbers are available for them to contact?
They can log on to aajahawaii.org. We have a website that's got great information about different internship opportunities that are available and things that we're up to, and it's updated quite frequently, and that's the best way to go ahead and find out about our organization. And if they're interested, they can as well call me for more information. I'm available at 228-2849.
Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to add? And hopefully next week, we'll before the screening, we'll have a talk a bit more about it, and I hope to get Ms. Kimberly Franks on. And so we'll talk next week, possibly.
That sounds great. We're looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much.
Aloha. Anyway, That was something I was, by chance, was invited to go there, and I knew nothing about it. And again, this is a screening, a documentary film screening that's going to be held May 1st. And it's about, it's called Vincent Hu. It tells the story of a Chinese American who was murdered in 1982 by two white auto workers in Detroit. And the incident, as is described, took place at the height of the anti-Japanese sentiment because of the massive layoffs in the auto industry. Where have I heard that before? People start to act because they blame other people for bad decisions and failures and what have you. And the killers were ordered to pay a $3,000 fine and were sentenced to 3 years probation. Now, keep in mind, probation. No jail time. And what it did, it served, this incident served as described, sparked the Pan-Asian identity and civil rights movement across the U.S. And I, again, would suggest that if you get the chance and you're interested, please, I encourage you to go see Vincent Hu. So anyway, again, at the May 1st, at the YWCA there near Richard Street. So you can go again, ywcaoahu.org/Vincent Hu. And you can get that information and you can register early. And it's only $12, and I understand they're going to have popcorn and all the other good stuff. So please throw some support and you'll be rewarded. Thank you. So now that was an abrupt, but I was change in subject matter. I'm rather schizophrenic, I guess. I don't know how you would describe it. But going back to the earlier topic that we were talking about, the Miley stream, and if you think that the government, the local government here, respect any of you as citizens or as taxpayers, I beg to differ and say that the clearest example, if you want to know what your government is doing, we don't, you know, when it comes to if it's handling the issues on children, on how the enforcement of medical issues and things of that nature, they can hide behind this veil. They, the government, can say, well, we can't discuss that in total because it's a privacy issue. You know, we can't do that. But here's the problem. And this is an occasion afforded to all of us to see that, forget the environmental impact of it for right now. Let's think of the social impacts. And it's an eye-opener, and it's an opportunity for you, the layperson or the taxpayer or the citizen, to stand back and see. And I don't want to inflame your thoughts or aggravate you with what I say, but this is a simple one. And I'll back up. Governor Neil Abercrombie lifts all of the environmental laws. Okay. Water pollutions and all of those. So then the city is fined. Now, they may argue, well, it was done before the governor got in, so we had to carry through. But why would you punish someone for a law, for violating a law that you now said the law was meaningless and it was no purpose? Why would you then turn around and why not forgive that person or some kind of pardon in sense? But what happened was they figured, we will just pull the wool over the eyes of the community and the taxpayers and just give them the impression, leave upon them this mark of the beast, I guess, to say we're doing something. There is no law in effect. You suspend the laws, and then you fine them $1.47 million, and you let it negotiate, and you work it backwards. So imagine. Then you go out and you send out a press release, right? Well, why would you send out a press release? Why not just stick it in the closet where all the other skeletons are and just let it be? But why would they do that? See, they have no respect for you, the taxpayer. They know they have us cornered now, and they know that. And the problem is there are other issues out there. Now, way back, I uncovered a similar situation at the Waipahu incinerator, and where they buried a lot of white goods, and there was toxic waste that they had to dig up that I uncovered, and they had to ship out. And the state pulled the same shenanigan, the same trick. What they did, they said that the city is going to be fine, but the city will keep the money and spend the money on these projects. And so how does that work? What if you caught someone robbing a bank? I mean, the law is law and how we apply it. And you rob a bank and you get caught and they go through the motions and they said, well, okay, you get to keep the money and we won't punish you. We don't want to know your first and last name. We're not going to call you a felon or do any of that. We don't want to know who you are. Here's what we'll do to resolve this. You keep the money. It's $1 million. You keep it. And why don't you go out and look like children have hot on hot days. Why don't you set up a database and make sure that they know how to get popsicles or water themselves down or hydrate themselves when they're playing or recreating. Is that okay? Well, it's a similar situation. The city is not punished in this situation. Not at all. There is no punishment. There is no fine. And to have the state and the city to produce a document called a press release and send it out is absolutely one of the greatest insults that I've seen government project on a people in modern times. Because if you understood the greater details of it. So if you're looking for an example, when you walk in that booth and that little peppermint, red striped white cloth fall behind you, this is when you can say, aha, I get to vote you suckers out. You screwed me, and I'm going to pin you out. It's over. It's done. We don't need a scientist to tell us what to do. Folks, you got a chance right now to do something. And I don't know, but these dudes that are in there got big problems. They have no respect for you. They have no respect for the environment. They have no respect for the law. And then you take this recent act on the part of the rail. They come up just the other day, oh, $250 million awarded. Okay, but we got a lot more owed and a lot more needed. So what happens? You see, they don't have any respect for us. And so they're going to leave us at the turn, I'd say 20, 30 years, the average Joe wouldn't be able to go and look at anything because if you go to a park, they're going to charge you. They're going to charge you parking. They've fouled everything up, dumping cement and dumping chemicals and dumping sludge and what have you in the oceans. And yet, we're spending millions, if not billions, for them to manage it under the Office of Environmental Services, State Department of Health. That is bad business, folks. I mean, bad business. And nothing's going to improve because when you have a corporation council, and I don't know, I'm going to try and put something together. I've described some of it, how they will lie to you, even if they're in church on their knees, they will still lie to you, the taxpayer. I got the proof, and I've talked about that, where they withhold documents on the Waikele Caves and say they never received anything. And this is the one that Ed Case was involved in, where he say that the Navy, the military, is exempt from state law and immune from the state laws and what have you, to paraphrase, and denying the Corp Council, saying that they didn't have any letters from Ed Case or anything, but the Navy produced letters and gave them to me. So this is this Corporation Council. And in the DPP, you have David Tenoy, who used to work with Corporation Council. You have the person that's working there at Hart, used to run Corporation Council, one of the top lawyers. So, and handpicked by Hanneman, mind you. So you really, and I, again, I might be speaking off the cuff or off handle or saying the wrong things to some of you, but I'm just trying to give you an insight where probably you don't think of it. But if you go in and you catch someone doing something wrong in the city, the corporation council don't think about protecting the people. If there's two businesses that are suing one another and they engage in a city contract, they have a city contract, the corporation council will actually come in and engage in a process of denying you the right to subpoena. They will sit and deny one company from subpoenaing a certain entity to speak the truth about another company. If they're favoring that company, if that company is politically connected, this corporation council will go as far as quashing subpoenas. They don't want to see the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't. What they want to tell you is lies and lies and lies, and then they get their allocation annual in the budget, and they, the corporation council. If you think you've seen the mafia, you think you've seen The Godfather in the movie, see, the movies, you can click it off and go watch another movie, and it's over with. It's a little depressing. But with the corporation council, it's a real-life movie, and you're one of the stars in it, and you're one of the actors in it, believe it or not. That is what we have when we say, is Hawaii corrupt? I would say, heck yeah. And how is it corrupted? It's corrupted through the process of having crooked attorneys who will lie, steal, and cheat to the public, and run in and defend the liars, crooks, and cheats that worked for the city. That's not a democracy. That's a pit of snakes, folks. And unless you know how to handle reptiles, I would suggest that you start looking. And how do you clean house with these folks? Well, when Carlisle wins again, if he wins, you make sure that the people that he appoint to the corporation council is not from that pit of snakes that we have now running this agency, the corporation council. That's how you do that. But if we're not going to hold Carlisle accountable, and he didn't show up when there's kids to be kissed and candy flying in the air and hallelujah, brother, amen, sister, he'll be at those events. But the ones that tax you, the one that causes your mailbox to swell with a tax bill or fees at the parks or parking, he won't show up. Good morning, caller. Have a comment or question?
Good morning. I think Gary Gill said the truth best. He said that basically to Channel 2 News about the Lainite concrete that was dumped in the stream. He said that, the neighbors, the community need to get out there and be the eyes. So basically what he said is we need to watch the city workers, we need to watch state managers and everybody. So he wants the community to keep an eye on all the employees and hope they do the right thing. So I think he spoke the truth the most clearly, and then it shows, why do we even need him?
Mm-hmm. Well, we need him to fashion good press releases and to sit there and say dumb things. You know, because we're numb now. We, the taxpayer, I believe. We're just simple. We've heard so much nonsense and craziness and lies, and that we really don't have any control as we think it. So, what he's saying is that if you want to see through that, and in my opinion, first-hand experience, is that I'm the citizen who uncovered that, right? So the citizen's eyes and ears were there. So what he's begging you to do has already been done. But what's a greater insult is that he gets paid for this. Why on earth would he advocate such a practice when in fact it's his professional duty? When we hire people, supposedly that are skilled, tasked with doing these things, doing what he suggests the public do. So the public comes to him and I notify them just what he's prescribing and requesting. And then what's the final result? How is it treated? So in other words, come along, get along, and that's the way it is, right?
My second comment is, again, on the heart. You know, if I go to buy a house, you need a good down payment to buy a house. And here in Honolulu, this is a possibly $6 billion more project, and they're only talking about $250 million. They wouldn't even let you buy a house. Why are we trying to create a project that we don't even have enough money for? And I'll hang up after that.
Well, thank you. I don't know why anyone would accept that. I don't have the answers. But how do you get past this? This is something's wrong. Either if it was your heart and your vessel, blood vessel, something there would be a clot here, a blockage. Something's not working in this state. They're going through the motions. The legislators introduce dumb bills. The legislators take a few bucks, and they do their thing. And but they rarely do anything to prosecute anybody that causes harm to the taxpayer, that offends the taxpayer. And you've heard me say, and I don't say this because I have a law enforcement background. It has nothing to do with this. But I draw this parallel. If a policeman gets caught doing something, let's say Manini, whatever, shoplift, a crime's a crime, I know. But the paper goes, boom! Okay, now the department is rotten, and then you see these comments that they're corrupt and blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, when Mufi Hanneman breaks the law, dumps more than 40 million gallons of raw sewage into the Alawai, and is responsible for cement and hundreds of tons being dumped in the waterways and the landfill. Mind you, remember, the medical waste that went into the landfill, into the ocean, was not the first. Just earlier, remember, there was a $2 million fine from mismanagement of the landfill that we contributed to some of the violations and uncovered those. So again, Gary Gill, hello, the public is already there. You just need to do your job and ask the Attorney General to prosecute. I mean, when I say prosecute, put some jewelry on these boys, man. Put some handcuffs on them. But back to what I was saying. So we work our way back and say, oh, the police department is rotten. You know, another one got busted in doing this. Policemen are human. And to stand back and say that the whole agency is corrupt is just you biting and drinking the Kool-Aid. What's corrupt is the officials that you select. What's corrupt is the officials that you select and elect that leaves in the old snakes to sit there and guard the gate and swallow you whole if you walk through that gate objecting to anything. That's where the real crime is. Why don't we see those listed in the paper? Why don't we see great stories done on that? Instead, we see Peter Carlisle standing with an Asian-style shirt on, the collar, a Nehru-type collar, smiling. Why don't you demand that he stand there and tell you, today, folks, we gave some new jewelry in the forms of handcuffs to 14 workers that work for the Department of Facilities Maintenance. They lied to us. They took overtime from us. They fraudulently filed overtime. They fraudulently dumped the cement in. But you know what happened, folks? And I talked about this 2 weeks ago. The head of that agency that was responsible for a lot of this, if you go and look, you will see that a number of those people were allowed to retire after this big problem. And you haven't heard one single soul say, oh, the Department of Facilities Maintenance is corrupt. And I will tell you, the head was allowed to resign after he got his, I think they said something like 30 years. That's not on the, that's what's being tossed around in the quiet behind the scenes that I've been privy to. A gentleman called me the other day and started to tell me the story and about who it was really responsible. So instead of prosecuting these guys, this is where you save the taxpayer money. You take these dudes to jail. You give them some new jewelry in the form of handcuffs. Give them some. In fact, I would be all for giving them some of the bling bling, the real bling bling, the shiny ones, chrome plated. I wouldn't object to getting some fancy. And I would even say, let's etch their names on them. And let's see a police car loading a manager or a director in a police car hauling him away. Wouldn't that be a great image if Gary Gill wants to do something? And oh, and by the way, here's what's really scary. So they throw out this nonsense to you about, oh, we fine the city, and the city's going to get to wallow in your money again. Wait, they've already screwed us out of a couple million, and so you're going to entrust them with more money? I don't know about that, folks. That's painful. So then he comes along and he says, well, we'll give them this money and we'll just let them. You're aiding and abetting. You're encouraging. Wouldn't it be nice for Gary Gill to have been standing there and say, today the attorney general indicted 14 people in Department of Facilities Maintenance for falsifying records, for claiming false overtime, for major environmental violations and crimes? Wouldn't that be good, folks? Can you imagine what kind of joy that would bring to you, the taxpayer? Christmas would come early, and I guarantee you we'd save money in a heartbeat. We'd save money in a heartbeat if we were just able to see a couple of those dudes going to jail. And I tell you, it can be done, but instead they prefer to just insult you by coming off with these crazy inventive ideas of constructive sentencing and hiding. But anyway, I'll be back shortly in the next hour, and we're going to talk about Kauai, and we'll continue the subject on the state health department and the governor, Neil Abercrombie, and all the great things he's doing. So we'll be back shortly.
When you're down and trouble, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, well, nothing is going right. Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your darkest night. You just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh yeah, baby, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north wind should begin to blow.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Highway, won't you lend me your name? Your way and my way seem to be one and the same. Mama don't understand it. She wants to know where I've been. I have to be some kind of natural born fool to want to pass that way again. But you know I could feel it. To roll. Sail on home to Jesus, won't you, good girls and boys? I'm all in pieces, you can have your own choice. But I can be a heavenly band full of angels, and they're coming to set me free. I don't know nothing about the why or when, but I can tell you that it's bound to be, because I could feel it, child, yeah, on a country road. I guess my feet know where they want me to go. Highway, won't you lend me your name? Your way and my way seem to be one and the same, child. Mama don't understand it. She wants to know where I've been. I have to be some kind of natural born fool. I want to pass that way again, but I could feel it, Lord. To roll. Walk on down, walk on down, walk on down, walk on down, walk on down a country road. La 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 la.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Sitting here talking and walking. Mr. James Taylor there, I'm... kind of, I just like his music and the lyrics, and sometimes it just to slow you down and get you away from the nonsense. But now there's a lot, as I told you, someone asked me a couple of days ago, what are you going to talk about this weekend? There is so much in the story ideas and the ideas that's coming across this desk now is absolutely amazing. The people are getting it. The people want to hear more, and I hope you join in. If you have any little tidbit, please, this will be the place where we can piece the puzzle together. If you see something, And if you see that the politicians are doing something wrong, got their hands in the cookie jar, tell us about it. If it's only one cookie, if there's 100 cookies in the jar and 100 politicians, think that you're witnessing them take one, adds up. So sooner or later, the jar is empty. So don't think that the information that you have is not important. Let's piece this puzzle together and let's send these dudes a message. And I'm hoping that somewhere down the line we see people go to jail. And enough all of this asking the public to get involved when the public shouldn't be involved anyway. There's such danger to and recklessness on the part of the. I understand what Gary Gill is attempting, but there's a great danger when you tell the public get involved and without any precautions or without any warnings or while encouraging them, you should warn them. A couple of things: when you get involved and you see illegal dumping, follow through with, if you see someone kicking off four barrels of 55-gallon drums off into the bushes, tell the public, that's sufficient, you witnessing that. Don't go up there and smell it, taste it, kick it, roll it to see if it's filled or not. Just sufficient information is to call the authorities and say that you witnessed this act. Because it could be volatile, it could be caustic, it could be acid. So you don't want to go there and you want to do that. And especially in this climate, you could have a barrel to swell and it could just be pig manure. But if you walk up there and you kick it and it's already bulging and it explodes on you, who knows? So these are the types of things that I say is reckless disregard for the public safety, when you have professionals who, if they went there, they're going to block off the road, they're going to put on white suits, mask, and call hazmat and say, what did you see? So I think the problem is that we've gotten so far down the road and not being responsible to the taxpayer, to the citizens, that we've forgotten, we, the government people, have forgotten what it is, what our purpose is. They've forgotten that they go and they're working for the people. And I don't mean altruism or altruistically. I mean they're being compensated by salary, on overtime, vacation. Families get medical and what have you. And of course, they pay some to offset it, but it's a handsome reward. So they should give us something back as a community and as a state. And as a nation, we should have these things because we're paying for them. But what do you get when the system's broken? Now, there's a couple of developments, and it's all related. Next week, I think maybe Tuesday, I'm going to put out a press release on some things. And I want to share with you, you heard me talk about the wine IQOS and the politics and what have you. And you heard me talk about Tom Berg and his staff, and you've heard them on air here. And I want to share with you government, to what extent they will go to. Government now, I mean across the board. This is what it is. You give us your money, we'll manage your affairs, and we'll tell you to go to hell. That's the mantra. That's the state and the city and the county. This is what they do today. You don't ask any questions. You just pay up and shut up, citizens. And so, a lot of them are arrogant. And you heard me talk about Berg. And I got an email here where Mr. Berg wrote, he wrote it on April 9th, 2012. This is from Tom Berg. I heard just the first 20 minutes yesterday and Cox outright lied. The man is really out to smear and spread ill will. He is not telling the truth on purpose and is on a mission. He has his own agenda to create ill will. Seriously, I and all of my staff will be happy to meet with you and expose Cox's wayward follies. Now, would reading from emails that you wrote be a folly? Would it be a lie? You don't hear it here. So to settle this argument or this debate or the allegations that I may have have some agenda, and I do. I'll confess to you right here, right now, that I have an agenda, and that agenda is to get crooked people out of government. You heard it straight from my lips. Inept people out of government. Unethical people out of government. That's my agenda, folks. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that because when I walk the streets and I hear people excited going, I like what you're doing, trying to bring and bring things to the surface to make things better. That's like stroking a big fat German Shepherd on the belly, folks. They love it. Cats, they love it. I like that. So keep the compliments going. And I can tolerate these. They're not attacks. It's an outcry on the part of someone who has the inability, who stepped in the arena saying, I want to be a gladiator, but realizing he's not equipped. He's not skilled. He doesn't have the heart for it. He has a mind for it, but not the heart. And so I will submit to you, and as I've told Mr. Berg, I wasn't aware that he had sent this out, but there is a video, and you'll see the guys attacking the elders again just recently at the neighborhood board meeting at Nanakuli. So that's out there floating around. But so that I always like to put my money where my mouth is and my words and my signature where my mouth is. And I have filed formal campaign spending reports. And I'll release the greater details this coming week. And so when one calls me a liar, I'm not motivated to file a complaint. The complaints were going to come anyway because I'm interested more so in protecting you, the public, and protecting myself. Because when I walk home and open up the mailbox, it's bulging from new fees. I just went and got driver's license, the old man's driver's license, and $40, raise a fee, and this and that, and I'm standing there and spent 2 hours standing in line to move 10 feet. I'm not exaggerating. 2 hours. And then I got a city councilman here writing emails to say that everything that I said was a lie, but he don't say any specifics. If I catch you in a lie, I'm going to hold you, tell you, and nail your tail to the floor until we find out what specific lie did I tell or you told. You're not going to have to sort and read through the documents. And so this is the kind of stuff they've done now. This Kealii, and we're going to address that too. Kimo Kealii, neighborhood board members. See, they think that you're picking on them as a person. I wouldn't care what he's doing in his private life. It's none of my business. But when you cross that threshold and whether you're a neighborhood board, it's for public cause. You're privileged to information and you're sitting there as a public referee. They vote you in. You're a public servant. If you say you're not, then you don't think much of the neighborhood board process, but you are. So this gentleman wrote a letter attacking Lucy Gay, who is a upstanding citizen, who teaches the community, an educator. This is what this clan, and I'll call it that, of the Bergs, the Berg clan. This is our government, folks. These young people come into government thinking that they can get a piece of the pie and tell us to go, you know what, and not be accountable. And when you speak about the accountability and holding them accountable, they get mad. They go on the attack, so to speak. And to borrow a phrase from Kimo Kelly, bring it on, because if you think that you could sit at the public trough and feed and gorge yourself and not be responsible for your actions, you're headed for the slaughterhouse. You may not know it, but you may be profuse and vociferous and writing as much as you want to. But we have you cornered, people. We know who you are now. We know that you don't belong in government. We can't trust you. As people, you may be okay, but in government, you're not. So let's keep it in that context. I don't care if you wear a ponytail or cut all your hair off or cut one ear off to be rebellious. That's between you and your inner spirit. But when you are working for the government in any form or fashion, bring it on and we will document you, and you will need to go get more paper, and you will need to call me more liar and say that I'm lying and having an agenda, and you're right. But I'm telling you, if once you see the things that come out of these complaints, you'll understand. I don't play around. I don't just sit here just to talk, because I'm using the radio to try and inform you, so you, because they're not. And I'm not going to say and judge what type of job I'm doing, but it may sound personal. It may sound personal attacks. And if it's characterized that way, then you've missed the point. But it's okay. I can live with that part. But I, too, first of all, as a citizen, I'm a human being, and I, too, have senses that can be dull from abuse by government or government officials or actions taken by government. So this is something that you have to see it. When you call elders and you know you're being filmed, and you call the elders liars, and you call the elders chronics, and you call them an irresponsible parent, what does that have to do with anything in government business? So I'm still wanting to come to you and ask you and to listen that I'm interested in finding out what happened and how did Kimo Kelii's organizations get $312,000 in grants. I want to see what happened with that money. What did you spend it on? I want to see something for it. So get prepared to write more complaints and go on the attack, because I am not backing down on this one, folks. You took, there is a couple million dollars that Mufti Hanuman handed out to his friends out there. I'm not exaggerating. And the real, there's an audit, you know, it was not a complete audit, but they touched the surface and found some very egregious behavior. And that spoke to the inefficiency and poor management of the grant and the granting of these funds. But there's a bigger picture here. They defrauded us. I don't believe that anybody will tolerate the fact that a person sitting on a committee that distribute grants and approve the organization of grants would turn around and serve on that committee and their organization get the grant. Now, maybe I'm being unrealistic and have standards that are just not suitable for human beings, but that's, something's wrong there. So, again, I'm not going to sit here and be arrogant and you know, say bring it on or antagonize anyone, but I just want to forewarn you that the more you write, the more I dig. And speaking of digging, I'm convinced that Tom Berg and his staff has PhDs in hole digging, because they don't know when to stop digging their own hole. They don't. They keep digging. You come to them and say, you have some problems here. Instead of saying, oh, really? Okay, let me explain. No. They out-talk you, they out-speak you, and then they attack you. And they go through the community, and nobody's off-limit. No one. Because they got it. They know what you need, they know what you want, and they know what they're going to do for you. That's not government. Sounds like a drug dealer. You see, that's the behavior of drug dealers. They don't care. They don't care about how it's going to destroy the community. They just see profit and you as a customer. That's all they see. Government can't function that way, folks. You may have ideas and policies that you'd like to invoke and implement, but you got to still work on behalf of the people. And so when the people say, no, we object, you can't go on the attack. But anyway, that's keep your eyes and ears open, and this week, maybe Tuesday, you've heard it here, but I think maybe they've gotten their complaint by now. The Kimo Kelii and Berg and his staff been notified by the campaign commission that they are under investigation. So I will hold that for right now. And this isn't about being drunk and trying to get past Secret Service guys. And in fact, you know, I think that if Berg really, if he had any wits about himself that night, he would have said, look here, Secret Service guys, I got a couple of chicks over here on the side. You want to go with me? They would have let him have the whole entrance. Man, but you see, he's not a skilled politician. So anyway, I'm just making fun of that, and I don't know if that's fair, but anyway, that's, as I've said all along, my greatest fear for President Barack Obama is that it's the people around him that will cause him a greater harm, and I've said that over and over before he got in, because having worked for the federal government, they're not all the cream of the crop, trust me. Some of them got their jobs because they were told, go find another job, and they put in for an agency, and their uncles may have gotten them in or whatever. So, and I've heard some of the sputum come out of the right-wing vitriolic comments come out of Secret Service agents' mouths that make me think this isn't a democracy, and I darn sure wouldn't want you guarding me as a president. So I wasn't shocked to see that. But Berg should have learned that, you know, just all he had to do is look here, look in my black book, let me in here, brother, and I, you know, they would have let him in. But anyway, that's off the beaten path, and sometimes I do that. But there, you've heard me talk about, when we're talking about government again, and you heard me talk about the DLNR under Mr. William Isla, and you heard me talk about, to convey to you that situation where Randy R. Wall was serving from Maui and being paid, allowed to collect per diem per day, and then flying back on the weekends or whenever he wanted to go. And this gentleman didn't have any law enforcement background per se to be in that upper level of management, but he was temporary. And so there's this position, and we always talk about why we don't have good law enforcement and what's the morale and what's the state of affairs in the DLNR. And they all clamor to try to get in. If you let me become chairman, I'll do this. If you let me do this, I'll do that. I'll take care of the INA, and I'll take care of the oil, and I'll take care of everything. And so, hey, Neil appoints Bill. Neil and Bill show. So Neil appoints Bill, and Bill goes and let Randy Awo, and I'm still shocked. I would never have taken a moment to say that William Isla would have lent himself to such practice. He allowed this man to serve in that capacity, in an acting capacity, when there are rules, when there are union agreements, and there are things that are, you allowed 90 days and whatever. So you would think there would have been an aggressive search to find the qualified people to come in and structure, give some structure to DLNR and Conservation Enforcement Department so that they could be out there past 4 o'clock at night, in the evening, be out there in the bright morning, be out there when the animals were breeding and foraging and vulnerable to the fishermen and to the hunters. You would restructure and get away from the old nonsense that existed in DLNR if you had it all together and came aboard and wanted to get inside and fix it. Didn't happen. You would get new radios so the officers could be more efficient. You'd get more structure, and so that your two supervisors wouldn't be working two jobs. On Maui, the officer that runs the officer, the gentleman that manager that runs the harbors, running a second job. This isn't something you beg to get in and going to fix it and then turn around and want everybody to stand back and say, aloha, brah, everything's going good. No, it's not aloha. This is a fragile environment. We need to fix it. And you can't come aboard, take the helm, and then resort back to the same old dumb tricks. So we are concerned from the environmental community, especially myself, in that the DLNR Conservation Department needs to be fixed. But on the Bill and Neil, this is what happens. They leave a man in position who I think he has maybe a background in prison guards or something historically. I was trying to find out his records if he's ever gone to completed a police academy. And yet, Bill Ila allowed this man to sit in that position and manage it in a temporary position, allowed him to travel back and forth to Maui per diem, per day, to live here on Oahu. Didn't bring anything special to the tables. You call DLNR right now and you might get someone to tell you, oh, this is the answering service. There are no emergencies in DLNR. There are friends. Friends who are going to make sure that the other friend gets a high 3 for his retirement. So I'm told now, and I have in my hand here, instead of going out and looking in a broader sense for qualified people to make this thing good so that when you get a call that someone's busting up the aina, someone's breaking the pohaku, or someone's disturbing graves, or someone's overfishing, or someone's using an illegal net, or shooting at night, or all kinds of things, you'd think you'd be looking for the best of the best to try and make this thing work now, because you're close to the aina. You're from the aina. It's yours. But instead, you resorted to the same tricks that Laura Thielen left us with. In fact, this gentleman was appointed by Laura Thielen. And so now here is where we are in filling this position. The Department of Land and Natural Resources on the recruitment number 12-105, issue date 4/13/12, position, title, Senior WB Conservation and Resource Enforcement Administrator, EM-7, Division of Conservation and Resources Enforcement. Now, I got calls from officers around the state saying Randy R. Woe was campaigning and going around and lobbying people. And so who's qualified to get this job other than Randy R. Woe? So you leave him in place and he operates temporarily. Now, I might be off target and wrong. Maybe Ila has someone that he knows, but again, it would be a pre-selection. So even that would be wrong. So I'm saying to you that, guys, the Neil Show is a nightmare. And in fact, if it was really a show, I would say it would be XXXX rated. Shouldn't be allowed. And they say the revolution won't be televised. Well, I can tell you what. We need to shine some light and get some television cameras over there at the Neil Center and find out what's making this man tick. Why did he pick a lot of the native Hawaiians and then turn around and insult and assault the entire environment that they live in? Something's not matching up here, folks. You may have a different opinion, different view, and I hope that you'd share that with me. But again, there's some crazy stuff going on here. And when I see Ila, great man personally, but I'm sorry, when you got these responsibilities, when you clamor to get in and you've been critical of everybody that wore pants or dress that sat in that position, you had some objection to their behavior and their management style. Let me in. I'll do it. Let me in. I'll do it. We need to fix this. I'm speaking from my manao, I'm giving you my manao, and I'm giving you this, but here's the problem. You're giving us the same nonsense that they all gave us, the political appointees. Can you not say no to Neil or say no to Randy or say no and stand back and look at this agency as being, it's critical now, the environment is suffering now. We have more graves and more Ivy and Kapuna Ivy being busted up, and I haven't seen a single report go out to Kauai Hau Church or any other place. You call the DLNR for that you found an Ivy, a Kapuna, and immediately they tell you to call the police. The police is already overtaxed. You, DLNR, get paid lots of bucks to do nothing. to work overtime. We got one supervisor, and I'm not exaggerating, that works at the CTAMs. I'm told he's one of the head law enforcement people out there for security and for the Navy. He also works for the DLNR. Now, how are you going to be available as a supervisor in DLNR on an 8 to 5 when your job only goes from 7:30 or something like that to 4 for the state? And then how are you juggling both jobs? Then we have another one that works at Pearl Harbor, the same thing as a DLNR. Something's wrong here, folks, and so get mad at it if you wish. I can tolerate that. But I'm even more mad about the way you're handing us these things and it's not working. And so, again, what do these things have in common? They're under the Neil Abercrombie administration. Who would ever thought that an understanding hippie would have turned to such nonsense and resort to such crime against the people and assaulting their common sense? Who? When I think of a hippie, I'm thinking of a guy, hey, man, everything's lovely, isn't it, brother? Look at the rainbows. But this guy, he knew there was a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and he's going to take it. And that rainbow is the environment. All the things that we cherish here in this state, he said, they're not important to us. I'll suspend the laws. Never mind about common sense, and never mind about protecting the things for the future and protecting the future from being destroyed. I'll, little me, I'm the man with the plan. I'll strike down all laws. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not the America. And yes, Hawaii is part of the America that I know and love. That's not what I grew up to witness. So that's why I'm speaking out, and I want you to speak out too, because this is crazy. This is way overboard, man. You see, something's going wrong here. The DLNR is the same people that go around collecting marijuana and busting up marijuana plants and what have you. So if you got a great many of the staff working two jobs and stealing from you and colluding and in collusion with one another and hiding and not showing up for work, right? And then you put a supervisor who has, to the best of my knowledge, never passed a police academy, wouldn't know the laws of search and seizure, wouldn't know the laws of evidence, wouldn't know professionally. And you're going to be investing in him and have invested in him to lead this group of people. What that tells me, that you never had any intentions of doing what was right for the environment. And then we flip the cards and then we look at DOH, the Department of Health. Some of the people are great, and you hear me talk about it. The HERE office, down, thumbs down, they lie and rip you off and have, and they're covering up contaminated soil being handled improperly and dumped out in private properties. They are still concealing that and hiding it. We've talked about that. The Solid and Hazardous Waste Branch, we've talked about that. But I just so happened to go to Kauai to look into some things over there. And recently, there is a company called PRC. They've been operating in this state for more than a year. It's known that they're operating in the state. Their practice is recycling scrap metal. Sounds like something that can be done with no problem. But here's some of the things and the allegation that we're flying, and I've submitted some of this information to the state health department. Mind you, it's on Kauai, but this is a state of Hawaii. If they don't have enough money or have the capacity, they should make a declaration that and tell the public they can't. But citizens have observed, like myself, these people operating, PRC, on the island of Kauai. I didn't see them operate there, but I have the documentation. And what I did, I went there to look at, and here are the claims now, that this company would approach you as a landowner And if you had machinery that was scrap metal, potential heavy metal, they would ask you if they could cut it up, and they would pay you a little money for the equipment that they're going to salvage. The question is, what were they doing with their fuel, the hydraulics, the lubricants, and other waste, liquid waste that was in there? Well, I went and interviewed a couple of the former employees, and one of the employees took me to several sites. At the Botanical Garden now, mind you, the National Botanical Garden, they cut up a crane and allowed more than 100 gallons of hydraulic fluid and grease and oil and diesel to run on the ground. While the state health department is aware and supposedly have had an investigation going, this is what the general public has been met with. When the public calls to complain, the health department comes back with a very, I just got to fumble through here and find this. I lost my place, but it's enough to make you want to scream. And that the, when I saw this, I couldn't believe that, but then I thought, well, yeah, it can happen. This is the state of Hawaii. This is the Department of Health. Where the complainant writes and describes what they witness as illegal dumping and illegal activity. And what does the state do? The state comes back and say, well, you need to give us some more information. You need to give us more specifics. You need to do this. You need to do that. Yet, while they're supposedly doing their investigation, the health department, they are allowing this company to actually continue to operate and dump the chemicals. So when I drove around, we went to Kalaheo and a couple other places, Lauai, and what they've done is they cut the equipment up. And in some instances, I'm told, they cut cars, dozers, backhoes, front-end loaders on Anahola, DHHL land, Hawaiian homeland, what they call a sand pit, and drain more than 1,000 gallons of lubricants and hydraulics and oils and greases and gasolines into the ground, while the state health department supposedly was doing an investigation. And I've spoken to the DOH about this, and this is what they tell me. Well, we might take some action, but right now we're having a problem documenting that they operated in the state for more than a year, or for more than 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I apologize, I misspoke. For 2 weeks. Now, something's wrong with that story, folks. Something's terribly wrong. You cannot allow that to happen. And what happens is that I spoke to the people that were complaining. The workers are willing and able to give statements and to give sworn affidavits. And the health department is sitting there under Neil Abercrombie saying, oh, when the public see things, they need to call us. Just this week, they're on TV with Gary Gill telling us, if the public is the eyes and ears, so to speak, out there. So let us know. So the public let you know. And so you're given this bogus press release to say that you're doing something and prosecuting the city and encouraging public to continue to call. You squander this situation here with the city. And then you give a backhand slap to the people that were coming forward with evidence, photographs, video, and everything. And you're still struggling to do an investigation because you can't prove that they operated for more than 2 weeks in the state, as they claim. But the problem is the workers are willing to, the former employees are willing to give you copies of their pay stubs or give you the pay stub that show that this company was working more than a year. But instead, you treated the witnesses like they were the criminals and you covered the tracks for the violator. That is why I say, and it's probably the harshest thing in the fashion that I say it, is that Neil Abercrombie is just that. Nothing more. No good governance. No good guidance. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Other than hook and crook, bring in some of the native people, swing a deal down that Kaka'ako, and smile. God only knows what is really coming down the pipe, folks. Exempting the height level for buildings, condominiums. Are these friends that were he became acquainted with when he was in Congress there in Washington? Seem to be an unobstructed path to our resources here. So we have some serious problems in this state as it relates to getting things done. Todd Nichols, for example, is an inspector who travels to the Big Island and to investigate. A complainant provided him detailed information. And here's another example of why I'm so frustrated. On the wildlife refuge, the National Wildlife Refuge, I told you there was some hanky-panky at the botanical, the National Botanical Garden in Kauai that I witnessed. But on the Hanalei National Wildlife Refuge, there was a piece of heavy equipment there. This company, PRC, got the deal to cut it up and remove this heavy equipment. Now, as the workers describe it, that the owner, they cut up the machinery and allowed some 100 or so, 60 to 100 gallons of hydraulic fluid to run on the ground. Do you know what that would do to a bird? Just an eyedropper full on the wings of a bird would cause that bird, an endangered species or any bird, to spend its the rest of its life preening itself, expending all of the energy or most of its energy where it won't forage, and if it's lubricated enough or contaminated enough, it can't fly, and he's vulnerable to predators. Alku'u or mongoose, no mongoose over there, or cats or dogs or rats. So they cut up that machinery and allowed the fluids to drain out in the wildlife refuge. Meantime, the state health department is keeping the complainants at arm's length, holding them at bay, telling them, you need to send us the exact time you saw it, take some pictures, tell us who took the pictures, what it was they were doing, how much metal they were cutting, and all of the nonsense. This is what this administration has for you. This is the service you get back for the big bucks that you pay in taxes and fees and what have you. So, and I'm not making this up, folks. I got the pictures. I got the statements. And one area after the other. This area in Kauai is such a beautiful place, like all of Hawaii is. But when we got people managing it and supposedly protecting it, something's wrong with this picture. And can we afford it? I don't think so. But anyway, I just can't get over the whole notion that you lift all of these laws, and as I said in my opening on the first hour, why don't we just shut the close and close the doors at DLNR, at DOH? Because if all of the environmental laws are suspended, why don't he furlough everyone? If they're there to coming in every day to enforce the law, why do we need them to come into the office or put on their gun and strap on their gun if certain laws are suspended by the governor? And as I've pointed out, may sound like nonsense, but why are you coming to the office to go out and investigate something that if you suspended the law, then if there's no law, then you won't be violating and you won't be prosecuting anyone, because you would have to declare to the courts that no such law existed. It was suspended by the governor. This brings me back to the other points that we've spoken about. It's about job security. What the state of Hawaii and what the city and county of Honolulu do for the people here is to make sure certain people in government are employed and have a paycheck. And I think I've stated my case, and I think I've shown and proven that if there is no law or there are no laws and you've suspended them, then you don't need an enforcer and you don't need a gun and you don't need a human being to get in a car to go drive and look at a site that is a violation when the laws don't apply. I don't know. Maybe it's just an overreaction or some bad coffee that I had, but I am just puzzled as to what is really going on with this. And again, I'm reading from a letter that I got from one of the complainants, another complainant. This is to the state health department. I've attached one picture of PRC's operation at Kauai Vets Base Yard. They contaminated the site, and the water flow on that site goes into the stream that surrounds the property. What did the state do? They went over there. Did you see them on TV handcuffing anybody? Did you see them with a press release? And these are substantial complaints, folks. These are witnesses. And in fact, this company, some of the documents that I was able to recover in some of the interviews, that they allowed this company, it situated itself some 20 feet from a drinking well to recycle cars. Now, can you imagine? Why would the state health department allow that? And they're running around saying they're investigating it, and they sent people over to investigate, and they didn't really need to, because there were people wanting to give sworn statements, wanting to give the video, and they gave video and the whole works. And these people are still willing, the former employees are still willing to sign an affidavit, give a sworn statement. Good morning. You have a comment or question?
Yes, I wonder if the National Tropical Garden knows about that incident. They're pretty cooperative as far as environment goes.
Jane, I don't know. We were going to contact the state health department and let them know. I have the photographs and the
witnesses. But you want to call them the Tropical Garden?
Well, I could. The problem is when I'm out digging and snooping, I can't go and visit them, because then you'd be amazed at how people react. You know, the first thing they think is that whatever you're doing is going to make trouble for me. So I will be contacting them, and I'm putting together, trying to finalize the formal complaint to the state. Do know that I am going to, you know me, I like to complain anyway.
Well, Tipper Whitman is pretty nice, and he understands, and I think he might cooperate.
Yeah, and as I speak to you right now, there was a 55-gallon drum with the contaminants in it, and then there's one that they cut in half, and it's just, as it rained, it fills up and leaks onto the ground. So this is the kind of behavior that we see here, right? And I will do that. I will definitely let them know.
Be nailed somehow. Thank you very much for your help.
Thank you, my dear.
All right.
Aloha. Yeah, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't dare walk away and not tell them. But again, I tell them, and then the state's going to say, well, it's all gone now, so it's not a problem. We got to save money. But it's our money. So what are they saving? So I think that with this whole process, whether you like what I said or whether you think that I've said bad things about your friend who's in politics or who's working for the government, I make no apologies. I stand my ground and say that if you're working for the public and it's our money, I don't have to be fancy when I scream and shout about it. It is you who should adopt a policy and an attitude that I must be polite, I must be respectful, I must spend their money wisely, I must be held accountable, I will be accountable. So don't project on me, because it'll run off my back. I don't care how it comes toward me, because I've had enough, and I make it my business to poke my nose here and there and find out the things that the average Joe won't find out, and I'm not complaining about it. So that's why if you hear me talking, please don't characterize it as being arrogant and frustrated and angered or irrational. I've been there. I'm going to describe it to you the best way I can and as accurate as I can, because that's my purpose in life, I believe. Self-appointed, yes, but it's still my purpose. And so I invite you, too, to start joining in. And when you see it wrong, call it. Don't be afraid. We don't owe them anything. That is our government. When that flag runs up the pole in the morning, or whether it fly at night, we still are Americans. And someone made the mistake of telling me that it's of the people, for the people, and by the people. And, man, that sounds good, it feels good, and I like it, you know. So I hope you don't take anything personal and look at it as if there's a problem with me. I'm American-born, and I love it, and I don't like fraud in government, period. Don't steal from me. Go open your own business and steal from the people you deal with, but don't steal from the innocent taxpayer. We got people that are sick, homeless, and we're squandering millions on giving the city back millions. Millions to go back and do what they were supposed to do. And at the same time, right down the coast, they're evicting the homeless. And we're paying them. Here you go. Here's another $1 million so you can go get some computers and hire your friends as consultants. And you see what I mean, folks? That's not rational. That's not healthy. That's not American. That's from somewhere that someone went to a septic tank and got out some artifacts of government that decided to apply corruption and the theories of corruption and say it's going to be for we Americans, and it's not. So anyway, enough said. I'll talk to you next week, and I will be sharing with you the complaints that we file with Mr. Berg and the ethics complaints and on and on and on. So keep those emails writing, Mr. Berg. They sure helpful, and they, too, go to the office when we file the complaint. So don't hesitate to keep writing and threatening. Take care. Aloha.
Just yesterday morning, they let me know you were gone. Suzanne, the plans they made put an end to you. I walked out this morning and I wrote down this song. I just can't remember who to send it to. I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end. I've seen lonely times when I could not find a friend. But I always thought that I'd see you again. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You gotta help me make a stand. Just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Oh, I've seen fire and I've seen rain. I've seen sunny days that I thought would never end.
Thank you for tuning in to The Carol Cox Show
heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.